Now let's turn to the 90th Psalm. Psalm 90, and I'm going to read verse 4 only for my text today. Psalm 90 and verse 4. Several weeks ago, I began a series of messages and got interrupted. At least last week, I was interrupted. I plan to preach 5 or 6 messages on these great subjects of infinity. I still haven't decided a name for the series, but the first message, if you recall, was on eternity. Tonight's message is on time. Then I have a message on death, and I have a message on immortality, and a message on heaven, and a message on hell. I think there'll be 6 of them all together. Today, we come to the message on time. And so let's read Psalm 90 and verse 4. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Our Western culture has a lot of old proverbs concerning the subject of time. For years, my father had the Latin term tempus fugit written above the clock in his study. It means time flies. Time and tide wait for no man, I used to hear my mother say. Time takes its toll. During the mid-1960s, when I lived in the Dallas, Texas area, the clocks on the towers, on the tower of that huge Park City's Baptist Church had the term, night cometh, written on each of the 4 faces of the clock on that tower. This is actually a scripture. Night cometh. Time is extremely important. Yet it is too little thought of. In this message, I want us to carefully think about the matter of time. I want us to consider 7 things God's Word tells us about time. First, it is important that we consider the meaning of time. In preparing this, I really had no idea that I would almost get bogged down just defining what time is. Everybody knows what time is. But the strange thing is, no one can precisely define it, though various and serious attempts have been made. I want to give you 3 definitions of time. First, from the Encyclopedia Britannica, which defines time as the general term for the conscious experience of duration, the occurrence of events in sequence, one after another. Time is a basic concept which deals with the occurrence of events. Do you know what time is now? All right, let's try the Random House Dictionary of the English language. It defines time as duration regarded as belonging to the present life as distinct from the life to come or from eternity. Finite duration. Here's how Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary defines time. Measured or measurable duration. Finite as contrasted with infinite, as when time shall be no more. It's interesting they quoted a hymn there in Webster's Dictionary in defining time. It's contrasted with when time shall be no more. Time is finite, in that it has both a beginning and an end. Someone has said that time's duration is both indefinite and finite. We don't know how long time will be. We don't know how long it will last, nor even how much time we as individuals may have. We don't know those things. Time is measured by the rotation of the earth as it revolves around the sun. This gives us days, months, and years. Every day has the same amount of time. 24 hours, with each hour having 60 minutes, and each minute having 60 seconds. Time is a point and has a location. We often say, at this point in time. We humans are creatures of time. We are created in time. Aging and death are attributed to time. Time is divided into three periods, past, present, and future. The location of time is the present. The only part of time that actually exists is the present. Think about it. The past is gone. The future is not here yet. The only time that exists is the present. The past is gone. It is water under the bridge, and neither tears nor regrets can bring it back. The future never gets here. We are always in the present. I found a poem written by the German poet Johann Schiller. Threefold the stride of time from first to last. Loitering slow, the future creepeth. Arrow swift, the present sweepeth. And motionless forever stands the past. Time has both beginning and end. Eternity has neither. Right now, time and eternity coexist. But when the sands of time have all passed through the hourglass, nothing will be left but eternity. God's Word has much to say about time. The words, this was surprising to me, the words time and times occur over 700 times in the Scriptures. The concept of time occurs many more times. God's Word gives us the true perspective of time and of eternity. Time began at the creation, the heavens and the earth, and thus time had a beginning under God who had no beginning. Time, or measurable duration, began when the sun, moon, planets, day and night were created. In the beginning, in Genesis 1:1, was the beginning of time. Before the beginning, there was no time, because there was no measurement of duration. There was no earth to rotate around the sun, and so there was no measurement of duration. Thus, there was no time. Before the creation, all was eternity. There was no duration to measure. God came up with His great plan of redemption before time began. Look at 1 Corinthians 2:7. 1 Corinthians 2:7. God came up with this great plan of redemption, this hidden mystery, this gospel of redemption before time began. 1 Corinthians 2:7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, that's the plan of redemption, which God ordained when before the world unto our glory. Revelation 13:8 and Matthew 25:34 speak of the Lamb slain, the names written in the book of life, and the kingdom prepared. All three of these things as being before the foundation of the world, and thus before time. God gave the elect His grace in Christ before time began, according to 2 Timothy 1:9. Let's turn to that. 2 Timothy 1:9. All of these verses illustrate how God came up with His great plan of redemption before time began. 2 Timothy 1:9. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, I don't know if you have a problem in your mind with that like I do, but here it says that God did something before time began. That's not the easiest thing to comprehend, is it? Ephesians 1:4 says that God elected His people before time began, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Christ accomplished in time what God had ordained in eternity, the redemption of His elect. God, the eternal Son, took flesh and entered the dimension of time in order to redeem His people. Now think about that. The eternal God came into time in order to redeem His people. Galatians 4:4 says that His coming was when the fullness of the time was come. Romans 5:6 says that it was in due time that Christ died for the ungodly. Time is a crucial element in the salvation of God's people. That salvation all hinges on something that happened 2,000 years ago in time. All right, let's look in the second place in this message at God's view of time. This is seen at least partially in our text, in Psalms 90 and verse 4. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. What does that say? It's saying that time is nothing with God. Time doesn't mean anything to God. 1,000 years of time mean nothing with God. In our way of thinking, 1,000 years is a long time. That's almost an endless age. Genesis 5 tells us that before the flood, many men lived for nearly 1,000 years. Now, you know, if I have all the aches and pains that I've already got at age 63, I don't know whether I'd want to live 1,000 years. Would you? A lot of men, though, before the flood lived nearly 1,000 years. Methuselah came the closest by living 969 years. In God's sight, the lives of these men was but the blink of an eye. Didn't mean anything to him. Think how much can happen in 1,000 years. Just sit down sometime and try to write down everything you can think of, every major event you can think of that happened in the past 1,000 years. Everything that has happened since 1000 A.D. would fill up all of the world's libraries and probably that many more libraries if they were all written down. Think about everything that's happened since 1000 A.D. The Crusades, the Inquisition, the discovery of America by Columbus, the Protestant Reformation, the Great Awakening, that great revival in American history, the war between the states, the rise and fall of the Third Reich, the rise and fall of the Soviet Empire, the atomic age, space exploration, just to name a few. Many of those happened in the last 100 or 200 years. 1,000 years is a long time. How many days and nights, how many weeks and months, how many minutes and seconds made up that 1,000 years? Got a calculator? In God's sight, all of this time is just the blink of an eye. God controls time. God is sovereign over time. Whatever happens in time, God is in control of it from all eternity. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, there is a time to every purpose under heaven. There is a time to be born and a time to die. God has appointed these times for every person. God has appointed a time of death for every person. And that time of death cannot be extended past God's appointed time. Now, I'm glad we've got modern medicine. And we talk about, oh, we're extending life all the time. We can't extend our own lives 1 second longer past that appointed time that God has given us. Turn to Job 14 and verse 15. Job deals much with this matter of time, by the way. Book of Job. Job 14:15. Here, Job is talking to God about man. When he says, seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. So, my friends, when it's your time to die, my time to die, we're going to die. And there's no way we can stretch it. Now, you know, that's predestination. I believe in that. Don't you? And that doesn't mean I'm going to go out this afternoon and sit down in the middle of the railroad track just before the train comes because I can't die till God's appointed time. Because if I do that, that means it's God's appointed time for me to die right there. But God knows. God has an appointed time. Man can do nothing to hold back time. He can't even slow it down. God controls the time when the heart will stop, when your heart will stop, and the blood will cease flowing through your veins. God controls that. All right, a third thing I want us to consider in this message is the brevity of time. Psalm 90 and verse 10 tells us that the average length of our lives in this world tells us what it is. Let's turn to that. Psalms 90 and verse 10. A lot of us don't make the average. Some of us live longer than that. But this is God's average. God says this is the average lifespan. It's what it's intended to be. The days of our years are 80 years and 10. That's 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years or 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off and we fly away. This 80 years or 70 years, in comparison with the thousands of years of time already passed in this world. And you say, well, how old is the world? Well, if we go by the Word of God and take it pretty literally, which I believe we should, the world's probably from 6 to 10,000 years old. And so, compared with 6 to 10,000 years, our little puny 70 to 80 years is a very brief time indeed, isn't it? Comparatively, it is but a few days. Now, you know, one thing that might give you some perspective on how brief time is when we think it's so long. Our country's what, 229 or 239 years old. I'm 63 years old. I've lived over 1/5 of the entire history of our country. I never thought of that. You know, I always think of America, man, it's an old country. They've been here a long time. I've lived 1/5 of the entire length of America's history. And what am I saying? Just the brevity of time. It's just nothing. Brevity. Job 14:1 says, man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. Now, when we're young, we think that we have a long time to live. In fact, I think that's one reason it's so easy to get young men to go to war. They don't have any idea of really time and how short life is. But the older we get, the more clearly we see how swiftly our time passes. Now, if the Lord gives you 70 years, you just figure out how old you are right now and how much time you've got left. And none of us have very much left. You know it? I tell you what. How many of you are over 35 years old? I know that's an embarrassing question for some. All right. If you have that 70 years, you're already halfway through. You know it? Halfway through. And you may not live that long. Turn to Job chapter 9, verses 25 and 26. Job 9, 25 and 26. Job speaks here of the brevity of life and the swiftness with which life passes away. Job 9, 25. Now my days are swifter than a post. That's talking about a mailman. Not a very good illustration today, is it? They flee away. They see no good. They are passed away as the swift ships, as the eagle that hasteth to the prey. He's talking about how fast his life is passing away. Psalms 90 and verse 3 says, we spend our years as a tale that is told. Doesn't take long to tell a tale, does it? And that's the way we spend our years. Before you know it, it's gone. Someone has said that the time of our lives is something like the stay of a postman at our door. Someone else, that life is like a quick sob in the night. That's more realistic. Psalms 90 and verse 6 compares the brevity of our time on this earth to the career of the grass that grows in the field. That really puts it down to where we can see how fast it flees. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up, and in the evening it is cut down and withereth. In commenting on this verse, Charles Spurgeon said, here is the history of the grass. Sown, grown, mown, and gone. And the history of man is not much more. Death comes and cuts us down. Job said in Job 7:6, "My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle." I don't know what that is, but it must be fast. Our days are hastening by. We know that. Our life is brief. The end is getting nearer for every one of us. It won't be long before your heart and mine stop beating. It's just a moment until eternity. Turn to Psalms 39:4. Psalms 39 and verse 4. David prayed here for God to help him understand how short his life was. "Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am." When we reflect on the brevity of time, we're more likely to give serious attention to eternal things. Let us consider in the fourth place the uncertainty of time. Not only is our time on this earth brief, it is uncertain as well. In Psalms 31:15, David says, "My times are in thy hand," speaking to God. And this implies that the future of his life was mysteriously and impenetrably veiled from sight. James 4:13 and 14 states the uncertainty of life even more clearly. Let's turn to that. James 4:13 and 14, near the end of the New Testament. James chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, states very clearly the uncertainty of life. "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away." Turn to Proverbs 27:1, speaking of the same thing. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1. "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Don't be so sure that you're going to make that picnic tomorrow afternoon or that boat trip or whatever. You don't know what tomorrow holds. That's a blessing from God, you know. It is a sin. It is extremely dangerous to have a presumptuous confidence about the future. The Lord Jesus tells us about a rich man who had such a presumptuous confidence about his time on this earth. But the Lord God called this man a fool for this. In Luke 12:19, please turn to Luke 12:19 and 20, where God called this man a fool for his presumptuous confidence in the future. Luke 12:19 and 20. "This man thought to himself, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided?" Listen, my friends, don't speak or act as if tomorrow belongs to you. It is absurd to boast of something you don't own. You are not promised another day on this earth. I'm not promised another day. You're not promised another day. You may have only a few grains of sand left in the hourglass of your life. Your sun may be setting right now. We are not sure of having enough time to procrastinate one moment in repenting of our sins, trusting in Christ, and serving Him. The fifth thing we shall consider here is the value of time. Because time is so brief, so uncertain, and provides the only opportunity to prepare oneself for eternity, time is therefore of great value. It is precious. Time is precious because there's so little of it. It is precious because once it is passed, it can never be recovered. Time cannot be made up. We talk sometimes about, I got a lot of time to make up. Oh no, time can't be made up. If it's gone, it's gone. Once it's gone forever. Time is precious to the Christian because in it he experiences salvation, sanctification, and growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jonathan Edwards said, time is precious because a happy or miserable eternity depends on the good or ill use of time. In the sixth place, let us now consider the urgency of time. Most people never think about the urgency of time. The only thought most people seem to have of time is the time of day or punching the time clock. When I worked at a factory, I came to realize there are people that's really the main thing in life is punching that time clock. Brother, they're standing, they'll get off, they'll quit working 5 to 10 minutes early and they'll get that card out and they'll just stand there and watch that clock. And as soon as it clicks on 5 o'clock, chunk, and that's the biggest event of the day for them. Punching the time clock. Or wishing payday would hurry up and get here. It is urgent that we use time to the max because time that has passed is lost forever. And failure to use the now is to lose it. A lot of your time is already past and gone. And you can never recover that time. Money that's lost can be replaced. But time lost is gone forever. You cannot borrow a minute from tomorrow, and you cannot call back a minute from yesterday. You know, I was thinking this week, and I wonder if you've ever had the same kind of thought. Have you ever wished that you could go back in time and visit with your mother or your father for an afternoon? If your mother and dad are gone, have you ever thought of that? Wouldn't it be, I'd like to go back and spend an afternoon with my mother and just visit with her, talk to her. You can't. That time is gone. It's gone. The return of Jesus Christ is the climax of time. The last mention of time in God's Word is in Revelation 22:10, which speaks of Christ's return when it says, the time is at hand. All Christians can say for certain with Paul in Romans 13:11, now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. He's talking about the coming of Christ because He is our salvation. And now is our salvation nearer. And every moment, this moment, and this moment, and this moment, now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Time is an urgent matter, my friend. All of us should live as if every day were our last because it may well be. If death doesn't come, the Lord Jesus may. You may be in hell before midnight tonight. If you're not a Christian, you may be in hell before midnight tonight. How can you rest easy for 1 minute when you know this to be true? Hosea 10:12 speaks of men today when it says, it is time to seek the Lord. The last thing we shall consider in this message is the proper use of time. If you are unsaved, you should use your time to seek God and salvation in Christ. All eternity depends on what is done in time. All preparation for eternity must be done in time. Isaiah 55:6 says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Did you note the time words? Ecclesiastes 12:1 says to young people, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The man of the world says, I don't have time to go to church. I don't have time to consider the gospel or salvation. Man's fleshly nature is so taken up with the present enjoyments of time that he seldom thinks about eternity. The unregenerate person's view of time is totally selfish. He uses time to eat, drink, and be merry. Felix had no time for God and for Christ. In Acts 24:25, Felix said to Paul, when confronted with Christ and the gospel, "When I have a more convenient season, I will call for thee." Felix put off the things of God and eternity. And as far as we know, Felix was never saved. As far as we know, Felix is in hell today. Turn to Proverbs 1, 24 through 29. Proverbs 1, 24 through 29. This is what God says to those who have no time for Him. It's almost as if He said, "All right, you have no time for me. I have no time for you." Proverbs 1, 24 through 29. "Because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord." The second thing God's Word tells us about the proper use of time is that if you are a Christian, you must redeem the time. Turn to Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. This scripture says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." What does it mean to redeem the time? It means to use time to the fullest. Make the most of your time. We cannot redeem time that is past, but we can make the most of the present. Charles Spurgeon was speaking of this when he said, "Yesterday is a canceled check. Tomorrow is a promissory note. But today is cash. Spend it wisely." Time is our God-given stewardship, and we must use every moment of our time for the glory of Christ. As 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." How much good we could do for the cause of Christ if we would be faithful to our stewardship of time. Did you know that only 20 minutes a day given to Christ's service would give you 3 40-hour work weeks for Christ each year? You think about that. Serve Him in some special way for 20 minutes every day, and that means you have 3 40-hour work weeks for Christ each year. That's a lot of time, isn't it? You wouldn't take 3 weeks off of your job to serve Christ. 20 minutes of Bible study and prayer every day would give you 3 weeks of Bible study and prayer every year. That's like going to a special seminar. The lives of many professing Christians today are so filled with self that they have little time for the Lord. Oh, they have time for self. They have time for troubles, for family, for recreation, for watching TV, but not for God, not for Sunday school attendance, not for personal prayer, not for reading and studying God's Word. Did you know that God actually requires 1/7 of our time? That's what His Word calls the Sabbath day. He requires 1/7 of our time. God requires 1 day in 7, and all day that day He requires as His time. Some professing Christians seem to have the attitude of, "Lord, I love You, but You only get 1 hour on Sunday morning." So many professing Christians pass the time on Sunday evenings watching TV. Now, you know, if we would just stop and think about what a waste of time that is, how useless, and think about, instead of coming and worshiping with God's people and hearing the glorious gospel of eternal salvation, we'll stay at home and watch TV. That's outrageous when you think about it. What have you done with all of your Sabbath hours from 10 a.m. to 12 noon and from 6:30 to 7:30 on Sunday evenings this past year? Just the past year. What have you done with all that time? Listen, Christian, the Scripture says, redeem the time. Treat every Sabbath day and every sermon and every Sunday school lesson as if it were your last, because it may well be. In closing, let each of us make our own the prayer of David in Psalms 90 and verse 12, where David said, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." To number our days here would include mourning over our wasted past, using the time diligently in the present, and considering how uncertain the future is, and not delaying, repenting of our sins, turning to Christ in faith, and serving the Lord. Let us pray. Our Father, we're grateful for this great gift of time that You've given every one of us. Father, thank You that each and every one of us has exactly the same amount of time to use in our lives. Nobody has more time than anyone else. Every one of us has 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year. Now, Father, we pray that we would determine, as a result of this message today and by the working of Your Holy Spirit, that we would be faithful to this stewardship of time that You've given us. We pray for those that have yet to repent of their sins and trust in Christ and publicly profess their faith in Him. We pray that in this urgent hour, they would repent and trust Christ even today. We pray, our Father, that all of us would learn something of what it means to redeem the time and to use it in Your service. Help us all, Father, to read and study Your Word every day. Try to serve You for some period of time in a special way each day. In Jesus Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Lawrence Justice. If you are looking for a church that believes in and stands for God's Word in this day of wickedness, worldliness, and apostasy, I strongly urge you to attend the services of our church. Victory Baptist Church in Kansas City, Missouri, stands for the gospel of Jesus Christ, with emphasis on the doctrines of God's grace, the New Testament church, and biblical missions with reverent worship and Christ-centered preaching. Such churches are not easy to find in these days of religious entertainment and endless activities. If you are concerned about traditional biblical worship and serious doctrinal and expository preaching, I want to invite you to consider moving to the Kansas City, Missouri area and joining us. When you are traveling on business or vacation, why not plan to be present in our services on Sundays and Wednesday evenings? Or why not make a special trip just to visit us? It's easy to contact us for information about our church. Call us on the phone at 816-761-7184. Email us at lajustice99@yahoo.com. Visit our church website at www.victorybaptist.us, or just drop in on Sundays and Wednesdays at 9601 Blue Ridge Boulevard in Kansas City, Missouri, 64134.